I got busy doing some other things and forgot to put my microphone on. The reason I knew about that song is I text David today and asked him if he would lead that as our song of encouragement. As he surmised a couple of weeks ago when we finished up verse 2 of this song in our study together, there is a verse 3. And so tonight we're going to look at that subject of give me more. And it's based on 434. Now, as we've done before, if you have 434 there, I hope you haven't put it up yet, in just a moment, we're going to sing verse 3. We're going to look at this subject of give me more based upon this song. A lot of our songs, of course, are teaching songs, and they ought to be. Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16 advise us that we teach and admonish one another in the songs that we sing. But there are a few songs that have as many different subjects under consideration as this song. We've already noticed verses 1 and 2 in our study together, and tonight then we'll look at verse 3, but it covers a number of different subjects. Our world wants more. Everyone wants more. Well, we should want more of the right things, and it's not wrong to want things that are not necessarily spiritual in nature. But many people will do anything and say anything they have to in order to obtain more of Earth's physical blessings and Earth's physical bounty. What about spiritual matters? Do we want more regarding spiritual matters? And that's what this song is to us. It's a plea. It's a prayer. Like many of the Psalms, it's a plea for having more of the things that matter most. And so it's a prayer that we should pray more often and a song that we should sing more frequently because of the sentiments that are expressed in it. And so this idea of more holiness gives me is the title of the song, but it talks about so much more than just holiness. So 434, as we begin to think about our subject for this evening, the third verse of 434, let's sing that together. And then I've asked David if he will to lead this, not an ordinary invitation song, but I've asked him if he will lead that at the end. And at the close of our lesson tonight, we'll look at all three verses just in a quick fashion to see the various things that are mentioned here. 434, the third verse. More purity give me, more strength to overcome, more freedom from earth's strength, more longings for fit for the kingdom, more useful I be, more blessed and holy, more Savior like thee. Again, the sentiments expressed in that song, they're numerous. We've already looked at verses 1 and 2. Now let's notice verse 3. Give me more. First, it says, more purity give me. Purity is something that we demand in our society. We want pure water. We want pure air. We want pure milk. We want pure gasoline. We want purity in the things about us, physical nature. Certainly, we should want purity in spiritual matters. And of course, the Lord requires purity of each of us. Purity simply means free from mixture or content which weakens, impairs, or pollutes. Well, purity in milk, of course, purity in water, for example. We don't want pollutants in those things we're going to put into our bodies. We want to be pure people as well, without pollutants, without those things which weaken or impair it. It's someone who said it's free from adulteration, clear, clean, hence genuine. Someone else said it's free from moral defilement, innocent, chaste, refined. That's purity, and that's what God requires of us. And so we should pray as we sing, more purity give me. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 22, lay hands suddenly on no man, Paul said, need to be partaker of other men's matters. Keep thyself pure. Simple enough statement. We're to keep ourselves pure. Philippians 4 and verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, matters that are pure. thus making ourselves pure. James 3 and verse 17, James says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, without defilement, without anything that would corrupt or would pollute it. First pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. As the song begins, the third verse, more purity give me. But second, it says, more strength to overcome. More strength to overcome. Trials are part of life. We mentioned this morning. Job 14, verse 1, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. That's life. It's one difficulty after another. We've said that you're either going into a difficulty, you're coming out of one, or you're in the middle of one. That's just life and the way it goes. And so there are difficulties that come our way. The Psalms are filled with trials and how men proceeded to approach those. For example, we find in Psalm 3, verses 1 and 2, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. We read such statements often in the Psalms, as we've noticed in our study of it. Another example is Psalm 56 and verse 2. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. He follows that up in the same Psalm, verses 5 and 6. Every day they wrest my words or twist them. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. And so the strength to overcome, the psalmist expresses those desires and pleads about those matters. He expresses his frustration with them, but he also accompanies that with the solutions to those. He accompanies that with the idea of being able to overcome them. Remember Psalm 3, 1 and 2, they are increased trouble daily, he says. He answers that further in Psalm 3, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. He heard me out of his holy hill. As this song says, more strength to overcome. He expressed the problem, the valley that he was in, but also the means of overcoming that. We notice in Psalm 56, in verse 2, mine enemies would swallow me up daily. Verses 5 and 6, every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me, and so forth. But further in that same psalm, verse 9, when I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word, in the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust, I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. And so though he expresses the negative aspect of that, the trouble that he felt and the problems that were prevalent, he still expresses the idea of overcoming that as well. Just as the song said, more strength to overcome. James said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. More strength to overcome. Certainly we should pray that more often and sing about it more frequently, perhaps. But third, he says, more freedom from earth stains. Earth stains, if you type it into a computer, will have a little red line under it, because that's not a word that's common in English. But poetic license, we allow such things just the phrase prior to this, more strength to overcome, to allow for the musical melody of it, we leave the V out and we shorten that word. So this word earth stains. But it's a word that if you think about what it could mean, covers a great number of things. More freedom from these earth stains. It goes along with purity. When we're pure, we're not stained by the world. We're not stained by the earth, if you will. But purity and freedom from these earth stains, as our songwriter has said, go hand in hand. James said in James 1:27, if any man among you seem to be religious, bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. And so, stained with the earth, if you will, stained with the world. Colossians 3:1-2, Paul advises, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Earth stains, if you will, to use the words of our songwriter. And then, of course, 1 John 2:15-17, we are commanded not to love the world, neither things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, lest the flesh, lest the eyes, pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world.
world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. In the world, but not of the world, takes effort. It takes effort to swim against the current, and that's what we do as Christians. The flow wants to go this way and wants to take it with you. That's the earth stains. That's the way of the world. But as Christians, we swim against the current. We go against the flow. We're not moved by the majority. When we allow the world to stain us, we're no longer pure. So, along with the idea of more purity, give me, he also expresses the idea of more freedom from earth stains, stains of this life. But again, he says, more longing for home. More longing for home. Think about that statement and all that it involves. Galatians 4 and verse 26, Paul said, but Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all. That's home. That's where we're headed. That's where we want to be. Hebrews 11 and verse 10 says that those faithful of old, Abraham in particular, for he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. John the apostle and John the writer of the book of Revelation describes that place for us. More longing for home, Revelation 21 and verse 4 following. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. You know, we sing of that often home. We sing of the home of the soul. We sing, lead me gently home. We sing the song, won't it be wonderful there? And we sing to me of heaven. Many of our songs, if we look in the index of the songbook, are about heaven. They're about longing for home. We should have a longing for home. Spoke to Sue today, and she was talking about how she didn't fear death, didn't dread death. She said, I know where I'm going. So that longing for home, it pays off as a reality when life ends, when life comes to its close. And so longing for home should prompt us as well. Hebrews 12 and verse 1, following the Hall of Fame of the Faithful, as we know in Hebrews chapter 11 and all of the faithful of old, the writer says, wherefore seeing we also accomplished about with so great a cloud of witnesses, those who have gone before us, those who have already arrived home, so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Longing for home, something that we should do as Christians, the more mature we become, the less this world and this life means to us, and the more our true home means to us. And he said, more fit for the kingdom. What a great thought that is. For the Lord to make us more fit for the kingdom, more useful in his cause, in essence. The kingdom, of course, is the church. We know from Matthew 16, 18, and 19, Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. Now, given to thee, those apostles, the keys of the kingdom. Church and the kingdom are used interchangeably here. And so the church and the kingdom are one and the same. It is a spiritual kingdom. John 18, 36. Before Pilate, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom were of this world, and will my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. In Matthew 13, Jesus spoke about that kingdom in parables. Jesus sent the multitude away and went to the house. The disciples came to him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The kingdom under consideration, his kingdom, which he purchased with his own blood. To be fit for the kingdom, then, as the song calls for, we must submit to the Lord. Matthew 6:33, Jesus summarizes it in this fashion, but seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This should be our prayer predominantly. Make us more fit for the kingdom. We should sing more frequently songs to that effect, like this one, which calls upon the Lord to make us more fit for the kingdom. He does that through his word and through the encouragement of his people. Then he said, more useful I'd be. Goes hand in hand with being more fit for the kingdom. more useful I'd be. I pray often that the Lord will use me as a vessel, as a tool in His hand to be used to benefit the kingdom. And so these two ideas go hand in hand: fit for the kingdom, useful for His cause. Taking advantage of opportunities to be useful for the church. Are we doing that? Do we have the idea that I need wisdom to see those opportunities and the courage to take advantage of them? How much can I do? Not how little can I get away with. We should seek opportunities to be useful in the kingdom. Also, the wisdom to make those opportunities when the opportunity seems to be before us. Sometimes we just have to make them. That's when we're sowing our seed. That's when we see that someone has an eye of interest toward those matters. We might make an opportunity for ourselves. Galatians 6 and verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those who are the household of faith. We need to use our time and our talents and our energy and our resources for the cause. We can't do it all, of course, but we have to do our part. I remember several years ago, in fact, a number of years ago now, Andrew Conley was speaking on a lectureship, and he spoke about being excited about the mission work they were beginning. And at that time, it was in Botswana and other areas of East Africa, but eventually came to Tanzania, which at the time was known as Tanganyika. And he was excited about that, and he spoke to an eldership about it, and he said, one of the elders said, Andrew, you're never going to set the world on fire. And he said, well, may I be found striking matches. And that's the way it ought to be. You're not going to set the world on fire by yourself, but may you be found striking matches. More useful I'd be. I can do things for my little corner of the world that no one else can. In Matthew 20 and verse 28, Jesus said, even the Son of Man has come not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. He demonstrated that in washing the disciples' feet. And so we should be more useful in the kingdom and desire to be more useful. Make me a vessel. Make me a tool. Make me something that can be used in the kingdom. More fit for the kingdom, more useful I'd be. And then he said, blessed, more blessed and holy. Well, we've come full circle, right? We began the song with more holiness, give me. And now we come right back around to that is, again, more blessed and holy, with the addition of being blessed, of course. The two go hand in hand. When we're holy, we are blessed because we are a blessed people by God, the God of holiness, who is Himself holy. All want to be blessed by God, but not many are willing to do that which brings about His blessings or His commendation of us. The Beatitudes, which Jesus spoke in the Sermon on the Mount, demonstrate for us His blessings, but also His attitudes and our attitudes in that. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 3, notice, blessed are the poor in spirit. And so the blessing corresponds to the attitude an individual has. One is blessed who is poor in spirit. There's the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn. And not the mourn or just being grieved over any old thing, but mourning and grieving over one's sins. And so that leads to a change in one's life. And so a blessing then follows the mourning or the idea of regret for sin, for they should be comforted. Blessed are the meek. Here's the attitude. Here is the attitude we should adopt. Meekness. Strength under control. They shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. We're told to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not be ashamed. We should hunger and thirst after righteousness. Here's the attitude, and the blessing, of course, would follow that. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Not just have the attitude of mercy, but be merciful to those about us, and we likewise will receive that blessing. Blessed are the pure in heart. We talked about purity in this song. In fact, in this verse, more purity give me, as it began. And so we are to be pure. Blessed are the pure in heart. There's the attitude. And the blessing then, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, not just the peace lovers, but the peacemakers, those who make for peace. Here is the attitude then of them who desire for peace, for they shall be called the children of God, the blessing that follows. Blessed then are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Here's not necessarily something that one does, but something that's done to someone. But that individual has the right kind of attitude about that. Facing that persecution, theirs, he said, is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, say all manner of evil against you for my sake falsely. And so the attitude that he has presented unto us, more blessed and holy, follows on the idea of purity. And then the song concludes with this thought, more Savior like thee. Oh, to be like thee. We sing that song. Has the same kind of sentiment, except extended, of course, as the song is based upon this idea. But this song adds that dimension to it. More Savior like thee. If we're going to be pure, we'll have to be more like him. If we're going to be holy, we're going to have to be more like him. If we're going to be any of these attributes for which the song calls, we're going to have to be more like him. And so this serves as the foundation for it. Philippians 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We know from that context that it goes on to talk about he gave himself for us. And so that attitude, that mindset should be ours. Peter and James, when they were taken by the authorities in Acts chapter 4, when they presented the idea to those that were about them that they were going to do what the Lord said, regardless of what men said, the Bible says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them they had been with Jesus. Would that be the case with us? If we were talked to long enough by an individual, would they perceive that individual has been with Jesus? It was with them. Why? Because they became more like him, more Savior like thee. When the threat was not imminent upon Peter, but was just in the shadows, when Jesus was being tried by Pilate, he denied the Lord three times. Individual said, you're one of them. I never heard of the man. I don't know the man. You don't know what you're saying. And yet now that the danger was imminent upon Peter himself, after that, Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than men. We're not going to be concerned about men, what men will do to us. We see the growth of Peter in that. And we see how more like the Lord he had become. In fact, he himself would say, for even hereunto were we called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. More Savior like thee. If we would be pure, if we would be holy, if we would be fit for the kingdom, useful for his cause, or any of these other sentiments, it's because and only because we become more like him. More holiness, give me. More strivings within. More patience in suffering. More sorrow for sin. More faith in my Savior. More sense of his care. More joy in his service. More purpose in prayer. More gratitude, give me. More trust in the Lord. More pride in his glory. More hope in his word. More tears in his sorrow. More pain for his grief. More meekness in trial, more praise for relief, more purity give me, more strength to overcome, more freedom from earth stains, more longing for home, more fit for the kingdom, more useful I'd be, more blessed and holy, more Savior like thee. Give me more. We should desire more in that regard. As I said at the outset, this song, perhaps like none other that I can think of, expresses all of these matters and hits on every high note when it comes to our attitude and our actions as a Christian. We're going to sing this as an invitation song in just a moment. And as we do reflect upon those things we've talked about, especially tonight in verse 3, we look at the idea that is presented in that song and the prayer, the plea that it is to God. Make me a better person than I am. As we examine the words of this song, examine the sentiments of your own heart. Is it true that you want to be more holy, that I want to be more pure, that I want to be more useful, that I want to be more fervent in prayer, that I want to be more and more and more of what this song calls for? Tonight, if you need to obey the gospel of Christ and never done that, you believe Jesus to be the Son of God, you're willing to repent of your sins, confess your faith in him to be baptized for the remission of sins, we urge you to do that this evening. If you're a member of the body of Christ, and as we sing this song, you come to the conclusion, I really haven't wanted more. Not in my attitude, not in my action. Maybe I need to make some changes. Maybe I need to pray, yes, more holiness give me. More purity give me. More useful in the kingdom I'd be. Make me more fit in service. Tonight, as you consider the words of this song, and as we sing and admonish, teach and admonish one another in this song, if you need to make some changes in your life, and we can help you with that tonight by praying with you and for you, then we stand ready to do so. Won't you come while together we sing, More Holiness Give Me.